The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One SEC program has seriously upped its scheduling game. I do not endorse this approach. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. How are you and where are you? So many different places, folks. 9 states, 51 sticks. Been doing this since the beginning of the 2014 season. So thank you. And it is. It's 2 hours a day. We brought on 3 or 4 new affiliates recently. So everybody who's listening for the first time, you've been a longtime listener. Certainly appreciate it. But it's 2 hours of college football talk every single day. And when I say one SEC program has upped its scheduling game, it's the University of Florida. And it's upped the scheduling philosophy with the football program. When I say I don't endorse this, let me clarify. I endorse it for every program in America except mine. And I would say that, and everybody knows, I'm an Auburn grad. I would say that if I was graduate of a team in the SEC, no matter who it was, could be Vanderbilt, could be Bama. And if anybody's making the joke right now, you couldn't be a graduate of Vanderbilt. Okay, save it. Central Michigan, I don't care. UNLV, I don't care. Whatever school I was a part of, I would not want this. Whatever the relative scheduling was. Notre Dame and UF have scheduled a home-and-home. Now, it's for its 2030 season and 2031 season. We'll talk about that more in a little while. But my question is, the Florida way, where have you gone? And I praised for years. It was really more the Jeremy Foley way. I praised for years how UF would stand out in an era of exploding either kickoff games. They used to be preseason games. If you played one of them, you got to play an extra game. If you were Ohio State and Alabama in August of 1985, you got an extra check. And at that point, I don't know, it was like $600,000. And you had programs like Bama and Ohio State looking around going, really, they're going to give us 600 grand just to go to New Jersey and play on that fuzzy cement? Yeah. And then you got to play an extra game. Not only did you get a check for a gargantuan, like a pyramid of money, but you also didn't have to count that as one of your non-conference games. So it was awesome as far as 1985 kickoff games go. But in an era of that's just what you do now. I'm close personal friends with Smokin' Gary Stokin from the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And I don't know, he's president or master of all he surveys. I think that's on the business card for the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And I told Gary, I was like, you're off your rocker. When the playoffs started, I said, it's going to be like a 12-week sprint to an undefeated record. And he said, I think it's going to go the other way with strength of schedule, et cetera. And then here's the truth. I could have been right. Money wins out. So I couldn't have been more wrong. I'll tell you when that happens. I think I was right. I think programs looked around and was like, oh, we got an $8 million a year coach now? Well, let's play a preseason or a kickoff game. Even in the face of that, up until what, that Michigan game out in Dallas about 3 years ago, 4 years ago? In an era where everybody, it was a sprint. Hey, can we get one of those week one games? Virginia Tech and Tennessee, they said we'll play week two at Bristol. Everybody doing that. Do you know what the Florida way was? Which I loved for 17 reasons. Jeremy Foley, which, again, the Jeremy Foley way, you call it whatever you want, but Jeremy Foley, for whatever extent he was in charge of scheduling for football. Now, he left, I think, either during or at the 16 season, kickoff something. Maybe there was a transition there, but until about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and Scott Strickland took over. These are the season-opening non-conference games for Florida over the last few years of Jeremy Foley's tenure. Now, I also know that you schedule years in advance. That's usually for a team like Notre Dame. For a team like Hawaii or Charleston Southern, like February will do sometimes. So there was a lot of control here. Now, there were also curveballs where the SEC would say, all right, you're playing Texas A&M week two. And so you're playing Kentucky week two. So there were times that was the case. But whenever it was in Florida's control, do you know what Florida's approach was to the football schedule? Open at home week one, week two as well, if you can, and play to eminently beatable opponents. That was the Florida approach, and I loved it. I say 17 reasons. I don't know. Splash around in the shallow end of the pool before jumping off into the 12-foot waters with a new quarterback and a new left tackle and nine new starters, a new defensive coordinator. All right, you know what I want? I want week one at home against a team from the MAC or the Mountain West, or go reform the old WAC, the Western Athletic Conference. Go reform that, and I'll schedule two teams from the WAC. This was Florida when it was in control. 2012, it opened against Bowling Green. It had an SEC game week two, but do you know who its next non-conference game when it had a choice? Bowling Green, Louisiana Lafayette. 2013, way an outlier. Week one, at home, Toledo. Week two, Miami, Florida. Now, again, that was a big game that the boosters and fans, everybody clamored for, but that was the exception. 2014, open, at home, week one, week two. The scheduled opponents, Eastern Michigan, and I think it was Idaho. They had that home game that got, like, thunderstormed out. There's a chance that Will Muschamp lost his job because the game got canceled because of weather. But Eastern Michigan and Idaho, 2015, New Mexico State, East Carolina, 2016, UMass, North Texas. So good for so many reasons. And when, again, more than anything, even if you do have a returning starter at quarterback, you have a quarterback. And I would much rather have that kid facing Bowling Green, Louisiana Lafayette, Toledo, Eastern Michigan, Idaho, New Mexico State, ECU, UMass, or North Texas than anybody you're ever going to play in a neutral site game. That's where I would rather have my quarterback going, hadn't taken any snaps since January, nothing counted. So it is morning in Gainesville as far as scheduling. And I am in the northwest, like the Pacific Forest up there, walking around on my lonesome with this attitude about scheduling. So I acknowledge that. But I'm telling you, I know I'm right. And, well, how can you say you're right when every AD is going the other way? Every AD is looking at the accounting ledger. I got bills to pay, brother. My philosophy's right. You will be a better team in November, December, and fingers crossed, January, by opening at home against New Mexico State and ECU than you will being thrown into a deep fryer right out of the gate. I would say to Scott Strickland, however, slow down, playa. I told you, and we're going to come back to this. Notre Dame and UF, they announced it. I saw it on the Notre Dame website, actually, this morning. It was first place. So it's official. They will play in 2030 and 31. To Scott Strickland, I would say, did you check the calendar? He has now scheduled the Gators program into a bit of something in 2031. The non-conference schedule is Texas, Arizona State, FSU, and Notre Dame. Let me tell you what's not happening in 2031. The Florida Gators are not playing Texas, Arizona State, FSU, and Notre Dame. That's not happening. Now, I have no idea what the adjustment will be, but you're not playing eight SEC games and that.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Life and world in general is competition. You got to be competitive every day in everything you do and what we do. And our world right now, especially down in this part of the country, it's a very dog-eat-dog competitive world down here.
Jimbo on Zoom with the media saying nothing's easy. And he is right about that. Nothing is easy in the SEC. Actually, I was speaking at an event about 2 years ago, and a coach from the SEC, an assistant coach, was supposed to be there speaking. And when I arrived, he was supposed to talk on the SEC East. And there was an assistant coach from, it was actually Steve Sarkisian, was there speaking on the SEC West. Well, the SEC East coach couldn't make it. And I had, hey, Chuck, you were going to talk about XYZ anyway. How about you cover the East? Do you need some time to prepare? I was like, oh, no. I know what I'm going to talk about. I needed 2 seconds. I was like, yeah, we can talk about the East. And specifically, that I was like, yeah, I stood up in front of 800 people out there. I was like, here's the East. Kirby's making it look easy, and it's not. And that's the truth about the SEC. Going to Nashville, let's all just beat up Vanderbilt because we know what they are. Going to Nashville is not easy. And as Dan Mullen has now underscored what I was saying about Kirby, he was making it look easy, and he wasn't. Kirby, I was saying Kirby wasn't getting enough credit. So nothing's easy in the SEC, especially when you have a new starter at quarterback, especially when you have a new starter at quarterback after having the old starter for 3.5 seasons, especially after the old starter was like, I don't know, either 86% of your offense or your, quote, team or your personality or whatever. So you have a new quarterback, whatever. If you look at the schedule, upon first pass, you think, oh, Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, Mississippi State. You see Bama hanging out there on October 9th, but then Missouri, South Carolina, which that's no prize because that's up at Como. South Carolina, the bye week, Auburn comes calling on the road at Ole Miss. Then you got a Prairie View game, and go Panthers. And then at Panthers? I think Panthers, yeah. And LSU in Baton Rouge again after Thanksgiving. And who knows if that game gets moved or, date-wise. But it looks like a navigable schedule because it's February. Every schedule we look at on February 9th, oh, yeah, I can see what this is going to – they'll be 7-5. Now, who are we talking about? Arkansas? If I said, that'd be 7-5. You have a Hogs fan go, okay, well, that's fine for year two. Folks, you just went like 3 years without winning a single conference game, and now you have an Arkansas, and I'm just picking a fan base because this is what you're supposed to be like. You're supposed to be, what? Wait, 7-5? Well, I guess that's okay for a second year, but we better see a jump in year three. That's Arkansas's fans right now. Texas A&M fans, they ain't going to want to hear it. Well, it's been an adjustment year. We had one player coming back on the offensive line. It was a left guard. He's a sophomore, and now he's playing left tackle. We have one kid coming back. We don't have a quarterback. The Texas A&M fans ain't going to hear it because everybody, them included, me, I don't know, Phil Steele, who's the guy in Nashville? Bill King, Chris Landry. Chris Landry wouldn't do this. We all look at the schedule and go, okay, that's navigable. That's 10-2 at least. Maybe if they get an upset, are you, huh? And so A&M fans, they're wanting to say that. They're going, I think we can go 10-2 at the very least. And then they hear dude on the radio or girl on TV or something on their computer screen, and they say the same thing I do. 10-2, Jimbo. And Jimbo's like, nothing is easy, folks. The Prairie View game will be easy. I believe Kent State will be easy. Colorado's not very good. They're not a good program. They ain't got no money. And so there will be some easy at the beginning, but I promise you, and here's what you carve it in stone, folks, 11th commandment. There is going to be somebody in the conference, probably a couple somebodies, who will have a whole lot more for A&M than any, Jimbo included, than any of us are expecting. Maybe it's Mississippi State. Now, I think that's a little early, like week 5 or 6 of year 2. I think that's a little early for what – go look at that Texas Tech when he was at the Palouse. It takes a minute, but maybe this kid's the quarterback for him. So there's going to be a team or two in the conference that's going to be a little bit more than just a speed bump. It's a road trip, but that's fine. We'll win anyway. But A&M fans, man, it's going to be a season of adjustment. Dan Matthews, how are you?
Very well. And, you know, to go along with your life rules that you have sometimes, I add one as well. Is another rule is it's okay to say, of course. Because in the case of Central Florida and who they just hired for their AD, Terry Mohajir, you say, of course, because it fits into what I've talked about before, Chuck, where I've said you've got to realize who you are, be honest about who you are and who you can get and where you are as a program. And for Central Florida, it's a case for them where they are just relevant enough that you want to be able to find somebody who can get you to that place, of course. Here is the of course about it, is that Terry Mohajir, when he got to Arkansas State in 2012, he hired a guy who a couple of years before had led a team to a national championship as an offensive coordinator, and he went 9-3 in his first season there, Gus Malzahn. We know where Gus Malzahn ended up. Along that as well, he got Brian Harsin. We know where Brian Harsin is now. And he just hired Butch Jones there as well. And he also had Blake Anderson, who was a good coach and parlayed it into another experience as a head coach
program,
somewhere else.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And not only that, he also, too, at Arkansas State, where, Chuck, we hear about major programs who seemingly have issues raising money and having the facilities and everything else. Look at Arkansas State Stadium. He put a nice new addition on that stadium there. So if he's doing this in Jonesboro, Arkansas, it makes you wonder, what can he do at UCF, who, right or wrong, has notoriety and has people who, at least when you say Central Florida, they say, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you guys who claim that you're the national champions. There was a reason that they did that, because a program like Florida is not going to get away with doing that. They're especially not going to get away with doing that. But a program like Central Florida gets away with it because why? It gets people doing what I'm doing right now, and that's talking about them. Because more often than not, on February the 9th, 2021, I'm not supposed to be talking about a program like Central Florida. But when you hire a guy like this who made that program viable and somebody before him made it viable, at least if nothing else, help me carry the water.
Yeah, folks, it's not normal to have facilities along the line. It's not Oregon, okay? It's not, you know, Auburn didn't look at Arkansas State and go, "Ooh, my Red Wolves, they reset the bar for a football facility." But it's really, really nice stuff. And then when you say, especially for a Sun Belt program, folks, we all made fun, you know, collectively, Tommy West on his exit speech from Memphis. I'd been there. Not, I wasn't making fun of him. Tommy was right. He was like, I need carpet. Do something. It's painful to be part of a program where it appears no one cares because you don't spend money. That is not the case in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Again, one dividing line on the Red Wolves got it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I have tried to edit a headline that I saw, I think it was last night, to actually reflect the truth. The headline as it's presented is, Iowa State inks Matt Campbell to new 8-year contract. Here's the actual headline, if they were telling just the bottom line truth. There's a sheet of paper with Matt Campbell's signature on it, and the AD or the president or the board of trustees, he's got a signature on the same sheet of paper. It does not mean in any way that Matt Campbell is going to be coaching the Cyclones for the next 8 seasons. In fact, if I was at the window in Vegas right now with a Franklin burning a hole in my pocket, I would bet the under 7.5 seasons as quickly as I could. But that is the latest headline in the coaching world. We got that and so much more to talk about with our Tuesday guest. Always love his time from College Football Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you today?
Brother Chuck, I am doing absolutely fantastic today. Fantastic. It is it's a beautiful sunny day in Oregon. We might get some snow this week. And I just got off the phone with a football ops guy looking for a new running back coach. Ooh. And pretty excited that we got focused in on a couple guys they weren't paying attention to. So I'm kind of jacked up about that.
All right, now let me give you an opinion then, because I'm going to ask you about Matt Campbell and the idea that, you know, he'll coach 8 years at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So running backs coach, I have always contended that running back is the most instinctive position on the field. It literally is three words. It's run to daylight, which is why a ninth grader, a college freshman, or an NFL rookie can lead whatever in rushing, because it's just that instinctive. I've also said that running back coach for a college staff is a great place to, quote, hide someone who was an ace recruiter. And it's where a lot of programs like C.J. Spiller, Cadillac Williams, where a program will hide the former superstar who can still recruit. What's your opinion of why you would hire a running back coach?
Running back coach. Okay, running back coach is a lot like wide receiver and DB coach from a recruiting standpoint. Okay, so this is my basic rule of thumb, unless you can just recruit everybody, right? Unless you're an elite recruiter, you recruit everybody. But when you have to break down your coaching, to me, you recruit from the outside in. So your running back coach, your DB coach, your wide receiver, your receivers coach, your quarterback coach, those are your best recruiters. And coaches, your best developmental guys, make that your linebacker, offensive line, D-line coaches. Okay, so in this case, when you're talking about a running back coach, I'm looking at two things in terms of running back metrics as a coach. I look at their ability to recruit relative to the average class that their program has. So if you are a running back coach at Georgia Tech, and your average running back is 98.2% of the average class, you're probably not a very good recruiter. You need to be over 100%. You need to be out-recruiting the average guy that's signing a letter of intent. So that's the first thing I look for.
That if the then class is, I'm just to like put numbers, yeah, like if the class is 42, but your running backs are 47.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what is your average grade on these guys? And so I have all of the unit grades from 2002 through 2021 broken down by the recruiting ranking services. I can tell you where every unit of every FBS program has trended for 20 years, you know, and so, and I know what coach was in charge of those units for the last 20 years. I can find anybody, anywhere, and all of their recruiting trends. So with running back, I am really looking at that recruiting trend because I want to find a recruiter, but I also want him to find guys that are great in open space, great at getting secondary yards, great at instinctive running. So then the second page, when I sit down with the staff, the head coach, the director of football ops, now I'm looking at advanced metrics on-field performance. What is the ranking of secondary yards? What is the ranking of open field yards, missed tackles? So not only can I take the recruiting side of it from a coach, I can take a look at the guys he recruited and how they performed on the field in space instinctively. Those are the guys that I'm looking for to make a program better.
All right. And by the way, I just think I want to clarify, because I was talking about like rankings, for instance, 42, 47. Uh-huh. If it's ratings, then it would be the inverse. It would be, you know, the class was rated an 89 and the running backs were rated an 82, for instance.
It's kind of the same thing, right? It's just relative to
absolutely.
The average
absolutely.
Rating. Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you then, something like Charles Huff then, and it's a heck of an endorsement to me, almost like sight unseen. If Belichick or Saban will hire you and retain you, or if they both do, like with Daboll, for instance, I don't need to know much more. I'm just going to assume dude can coach. But if I'm the running back coach in Tuscaloosa, isn't my thumb on the scale a little bit as far as, like, yes, evaluate me, please. I would like to be evaluated what kind of coach I am. By the way, I'm going to give the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times a game.
Yeah, well, and then that becomes more of a feel higher. Now, how many programs are reaching into Alabama and taking those position coaches? Not many, if at all, right? I mean, it's just Alabama has too much money. Being able to coach there, there's too much prestige, there's too much opportunity. So you're really never looking at a program like that. So what I'm looking for in those situations are trying to find the diamonds. But, you know, I think a guy like Charles Huff or anybody that is in that position, how do you evaluate them? You could say, well, he's a great recruiter, but isn't on paper, if you look at the guys they're recruiting, aren't all of them great? You know? And so I think that sometimes we are using the wrong metrics to evaluate people, whether it's coaches or players. I think we get caught up too much in the overall quality of things. Now, when you look at the running back position at Alabama, so the question would be, how good is his running back recruiting relative to the rest of the class? Okay, so over the last 2 years, the running back unit is the number two recruited unit in Alabama. So that's what I looked at first thing when he got moved.
Almost, you can compare him to themselves.
Exactly. Well, you're comparing what he's done relative to all the tools everybody else has.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So he signed four guys in 2 years, and the average grade of those guys is the second highest average on the team. The best recruiter, whoever's recruiting their quarterbacks, and if he was recruiting the quarterbacks, then good job. I know Nick probably has a final say and close on all of these things, but the number one unit is for Alabama's quarterbacks over the last 2 years. Then it was running backs. I think the one thing that you circle that is interesting, because so many NFL players come out of this, is their defensive back position is probably the weakest in terms of recruiting grades over the last couple of years.
In comparison to Alabama. And, it's so funny
because
you say that, and I'm like, there are about 122 schools in America who would say, I'll take their secondary in a heartbeat. Continuing with Dave Bartu, I want to ask you actually about a defensive, because you'd said that I saw a note that you've been talking to someone in a conference about hiring a DB coach. I have always thought that if I'm hiring, like, just this only applies for wide receivers and defensive backs. I hire opposite. I always want to hire a former wide receiver to coach my D-backs. I want to, my corners. I want to hire a secondary coach to coach my wide receivers, because it's almost like you know the tricks, you know the ends. It's like the magician's secrets almost.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that part of it. I haven't actually. I'm gonna write that down to circle back on that to think about that and look at where these guys, what their background is. At least the guys that I think grade out the highest. Obviously, like the running back, I'm really interested in their recruiting. Yeah. I'm very interested in the secondary and passing game advanced metrics. But I'm also really interested, and to a certain extent, it's the running backs as well. But on the defensive backs and the linebackers, defensive line guys, I'm really interested in who they've coached under. Who have they learned from? Because you can be a great recruiter, but if you're learning defense under Brian Van Gorder, you're probably not learning much. What are you bringing to the table? You know, are you learning under somebody that has great defenses? So you're bringing multiple skills to the resume, to the program. So when I'm going through these defensive backs, it's recruiting, it's passing efficiency metrics, but it's also what's the roots? You know, who have they been under that they've learned from? Have they learned from a Rocky Long? You know, have they learned from really good defensive coordinators out there? I think that's part of the equation.
One more question just about general, what you look for when somebody calls you about a coach. I want to ask you about the offensive line coach, because I think that that is a position that so many, I don't even know if they do this consciously, but it's almost like you lower your expectations for recruiting from the O-line coach, because it's like, hey, he's got plenty on his hands. You just coach up the line, and it's almost like a spot for some programs where they don't expect you to recruit as much because the O-line's so important. I think that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're a head coach, wouldn't you like to find the best developer and recruiter? You'd like to find the offensive line guy that is a great developer of talent and technique, but also has a recruiting passion.
That was Sam Pittman. That was the story about Pittman.
Right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with trying to find the guy that is a multi-tool coach. That's what you're looking for. And if you're an SEC team, if you're a Big Ten team, if you got a big brand, if you got big money, then they will find you. You know, hell, I will find you. You know, and then it comes, if you can't get that guy, then it comes down to, well, what do you want? Do you want a recruiter over a coach? Do you want a coach over a recruiter? And that goes back to my analytics philosophy of I coach from the inside out. So give me that technician, give me the developer, maybe not a great recruiter of talent, but if you look at the numbers, the least important positions for recruiting talent in terms of winning is offensive and defensive line. Okay, Iowa, Wisconsin, Utah, they have made a living going finding 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 250-pound guys that could barely crack a FCS starting lineup as a tight end, and in 2 years, they're 303, and they want to kill the guy on the opposite line from them. That is the development. That, to me, is the template. Those three teams have done it better than anybody else, and I'm amazed more teams aren't trying to replicate it.
So Wisconsin, Iowa, and who's the third?
Utah.
You
three
are
best player developers.
You are shining a light on stuff, man. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back a little bit more with Dave Bartu on a Tuesday. That is next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
Catch the the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Tuesday and it's hour one, so that means it's day bar two. CFB Matrix, he invented that. He had a laptop and some bandwidth, and he was like, I bet. And so then he strung together a bunch of ones and zeros, and now he gets calls from athletic directors and head coaches and football ops people, and now he gets calls from players saying, hey, could we look at all of your numbers from a reverse standpoint? It's not just, this is how you've done on the offensive line. This is who you put in the draft. This is how you've achieved versus, you know, the expected level, and you've exceeded it every year on the offensive line. Well, if you get an offensive lineman, you know, your boy's in the transfer portal, and you're thinking, I want to talk to Dave Bartu. I want to know where my kid should transfer. That's an emerging spoke off the hub of everything that he does with CFB Matrix. Dave, let's jump back into this. 8-year contract for Matt Campbell. It's a name on a sheet of paper. If you got a big enough check, you can leave with the Cyclones coach. Tell me how you think this plays out, though. Like, how attractive really is he to other schools? Because fans and media, we all talk about it.
Right. Well, I think it depends on the buyout. But I 100% agree with you. It's a name on a piece of paper. And Iowa State doesn't have the purchase power of a Big Ten or an SEC. If they want him, they'll come get him. That's just the bottom line. And a lot of people get confused, too, in that, well, it's COVID. The budgets are down and everything. Dude, schools don't pay for this. Boosters do. Boosters write $20 million checks. Boosters walk into the room and say, I want this guy fired. I want this guy hired. You know, those things happen. And it's not even on, really, the athletic department balance sheet. So it's not whether or not an athletic department or AD wants a guy. If the booster wants that guy bad enough, they got the money. You know, and a great example is how much money Iowa State has. Is I saw the announcement yesterday that you were talking about on Campbell, you know, whatever, 106-year extension, blah, 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 blah. But they were, like, making a big deal about, and they're upping the assistant pool to $3 million. Dude, SEC top assistant makes 2.4 on his own. You tell me if Iowa State can keep Matt Campbell if somebody with a big check comes calling. Not going to happen.
Yeah, the answer is no. We talked about last week where Middle Tennessee State showed up at Kansas with a check and took their OC. Even programs who really want to stay in the game, like Iowa State, there is a difference when, you know, a team goes down to Destin and gets a check for $46 million from its commissioner, and they're willing to spend it almost all on football. No doubt about that at all. Let's talk about the flip side of that, potentially. Pat Fitzgerald, I had someone ask me a question. This is a couple of weeks ago. You saw he's got a new 10-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had somebody ask me, is he really that good of a coach, or is he good for Northwestern? And I said, well, both of those are true. And I also said that he actually could coach out all 10 years of this because, obviously, that's his home. Do you agree, disagree with any of the statement there?
No, I agree with all of it. You know, what's wrong with questioning if he could do this somewhere else and still being a good head coach? Look, he is the best road head coach in college football, period. He had better metrics than Bill Snyder on the road before Snyder retired. This guy is a walking road upset. I love Pat Fitzgerald. Do I think his defensive mind, his attitude could fit anywhere? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. But I feel he is living out what I think would be the most fun aspect of life in college football, and that is being a successful head coach of your alumni. I don't know about you, but when I go back to U of O's campus, I feel younger. I feel good. I love being on campus. I just love that. I don't know what it is subconsciously. To me, the happiest person in the world, if they're being successful in sports, has to be the man or woman coaching their alumni. I just don't think it gets any better than that. So I think he's made the decision. that he just is going to go down as Northwestern's greatest coach ever, already has, but he's happy with that. And I think we're seeing a few more coaches than we did before that are saying, I don't need the money over what's making me happy. We see guys retire early. We see guys maybe not moving around as much. I think he's qualified to move anywhere you want, college football or pro. The defense has always been there. It's a brilliant mind. It's brilliant leadership, in my opinion. But I agree with you that whatever contract they put in front of him, he's just going to stay there. And I think he's happy with that. And there's nothing to make me happier than a good coach saying, you know something, I just want to make Northwestern good, and I'm just going to be here forever. That's awesome.
Yeah, you talk about going back to campus, and, you know, I've always thought of it as if it's the place – actually reminds you of a time. And so it's not the library or the parking lot or the frat house or even the stadium. You uh-huh. see all that. Oh, I love being here. I love looking out across the green. And no, you love thinking about when you were a sophomore and, you know, whatever on campus. Speaking of U of O, what is it that the Ducks have in their newly extended head coach, Mario Cristobal? What's your evaluation of him? Just a bird's eye.
You know something, it's from a success standpoint, I think he's done well. At FIU, he didn't have a high grade for performance. At Oregon, I think we can kind of grain of salt it a little bit from the standpoint that he did have a decent NFL quarterback for his first 2 years at Oregon. Decent. So then the NFL quarterback leaves and they get what, 5-6 games this year, with the new offensive coordinator. So I think the one thing that I like the most about Cristobal, his highest grade, right now, and I know a lot of people go, well, it's his recruiting. Yes, he has turned Oregon into an absolute beast of a West Coast recruiter. But his most consistent trait from FIU all the way through Oregon is his ability to hire. That is his, and then this is something just in recent years that we've really started to pay attention to, is how good can a head coach go out and find guys? And you look at what he's done at Oregon, he's hired one offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, excellent career grade. I like that hire. I like his temperament. I like how he fits the culture there. 2 years ago, he hired Avalos out of Boise State. Avalos was number 4 on our target report for Oregon, and they hired him. This year, DeRuiter, who was number 1 on our report 2 years ago, still number 1. I think this is a great hire. I think Oregon right now, offensive-defensive coordinator combination, is one of the best in the Pac-12. But at FIU, and a lot of people don't mm-hmm. realize this, Orlando and Satterfield was his OCDC. Satterfield, the head coach at Louisville, Orlando, the defensive coordinator at USC, both rock star hires. I mean, you look at this. So to me, those 5 guys, they are all B+ career grades in offensive defensive coordinator at this point.
Yeah, I got to say right now with the Ducks program, my biggest criticism is just go to the solid green helmet with the lowercase gold O. I mean, you do that every Saturday, I think we resolve about 90% of my issues with that program. Dave, we got to run, brother. It's always great. We'll do it again in 7 days, okay?
Thanks, man. Later.
All right, Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. Yeah, green with the lowercase O. I'm happy.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.